And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Mark Super Duper. Dupe joins us this morning. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing just fine, Joe. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I got to tell you, you were fantastic. Got a great reaction and response from Out the Pasture podcast that you did with Bo and I. And I wanted to let you know that I came on, and you said Mark Super Duper Honey, and I said that would do real well, and you said, oh, that name, I couldn't get that name. So what's the name of the honey going to be?
Well, you know, I wanted Super Duper Honey.
Right.
But I couldn't get that, so I'm going to name it Mark Super Duper Honey.
Oh, good. It is going to be Mark Super Duper Honey. Okay, so you're able to get it. Because somebody actually said, oh, that name's been taken, so you couldn't get it. But I got to tell you, we were talking at dinner up in Seattle, and all the guys are getting all fired up. But I said, I don't know when he's going to be ready for business. When are you thinking on that honey you're going to be doing?
Oh, well, next year. You see that, what we did. So I've been dealing with this for like 15 years. I have been helping a friend of mine, and you know what? I decided to get into it. So next year I'm gonna be putting honey on the market.
Yeah,
definitely next year is gonna be a lot of honey on the market. And the thing is that with my honey, I'm basically doing it myself. And you know, most people feed their bees sugar water.
Yeah,
me, I natural. It's all natural. And which means that I'm not feeding them sugar water. I'm not doing anything. Yeah. All I'm doing is just going through the procedures what bees normally do for the universe.
So can I ask you? Do you actually put a beehive suit on and go out there and play with the bees? You don't do that, do you?
Yeah. When my body let me. I mean, whatever my body let me do, Joe, I try to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know how it is. Like, we played football all these years, you know, you hurt all the time.
Right.
You know, your muscles hurt, your muscles ache, you know, and all that. But, you know, it's fun. An old man can do that, you know. I can do this for a very long time.
Yeah.
It's not straining. It's, you know, it's just open up boxes, checking them, and then closing them, basically.
I don't mess with bees, man. I see bees coming my way. My ass is running away. I'm just telling you right now. Hey, dude, we got a lot of stuff to get to. First of all, I never thought this Miami Dolphin team would be averaging 11 points per game. What's been your take on what you've seen or haven't seen with the Miami Dolphins?
Well, Joe, the thing is that, you know, first of all, don't get me wrong. I love the coach, you know, and I love the organization. I personally think that we don't throw enough deep balls down the field. I understand that, you know, you can get the ball to Tyreek behind the line of scrimmage and then he can make things happen, or you can get him deep and can make things happen. But I don't see them dropping back and stretching the defense.
Yeah.
They've got too much speed. They got too much speed and too much talent to
run those short stuff, the stuff behind the line of scrimmage. I totally agree with you. Totally agree.
Right,
and those bubble screens and stuff. I'd love to see it. I don't care who you are. If you see man-to-man on Waddle or Tyreek Hill, you throw it to him is your point.
Go at him. Yeah. Like, that's what Dan would do. You see that, Dan would just forget about all the plays and think that strictly, I'm going deep. And which I think we got the talent, you know. I mean, the coach is going to put it together, you know. Don't give up. Look, you know, he's got his number one quarterback that's hurt right now. The offensive line, oh, God, man, I don't know what we're going to do with those guys. I mean, they stay hurt all the time, you know. I mean, it's like you can't play good football without a great offensive line.
Yeah.
You know that.
Right.
God, that's why Dan was so great, you know. Shit, he had the Kuchenberg, Dwight Stevenson, Roy Foster, John Geisler.
Yeah.
Eric Blackso. Don't
that's
forget
right.
about Eric. Everybody
that's
always
right.
think about it. Oh, Eric Blackso was solid back then.
Yeah.
And then we had the Ronnie Lee came in. We had a lot of great linemen. And
yeah, no, we did.
Yeah,
we had time to have the passing game and stuff. Hey, I got to ask you this, dude, because it pops up, and I literally saw it in somebody's article I was reading, the Tyreek Jalen Waddle versus the Marx Brothers. Who's better? And people love to go at it, old school versus new school. For you, and I know you have said how good Tyreek and Jalen are. Matter of fact, you just paid him a compliment just now. But what are your thoughts when everybody wants to know the Marx brothers or Tyreek and Jalen?
Well, listen this way. If you take Tyreek and Jalen and play with the time that we played, it was tough. It was hard. I mean, it wasn't no honorable receiver. When you go up there and they catch your butt in the air, you ain't coming down unless you get hit. So, you know, it's a different era. Now, if you take the Marx brothers and put into the area with this, I can play with these guys all day. You know, but just think, if you can take those guys and play in our era.
Yeah.
I just like when we played against, you know, the Mercury Morris, the late Mercury Morris, and all the rest of the guys that we know we played against, I mean, that we didn't play against. I don't think I could have did what Paul Warfield did in his area.
Yeah. Oh, no, those guys. By the way, they could jam you and hit you and jack you up anytime they wanted. You're right. I mean, it was bad when we played, but it was really bad when those guys, there were no rules.
Oh, my God. So, you know what, look at it this way. I think we can play in this area, but those guys can play in our area. That's the way I look at it.
So you know the other one that pops up as probably the two fastest players to ever wear a Dolphins uniform, Tyreek Hill and you. And people always ask, because your background's track.
Yeah.
What would happen in the prime of a guy that almost qualified for the Olympics and Tyreek Hill? Who would win in 100 yards or meters?
I would personally pat his butt up in 100-yard dash. The quickness, that little guy has got the Tyreek Hill. Oh, he got some quickness, boy. And when he get that ball in his hand, boy, he's quick. He's very quick. But straight ahead, I mean, I'm faster. I'm not just saying that just because I'm old and you'll never find out. You'll never know the truth. But I think on the track field, I can get a lot of people.
Yeah.
And Tyreek is one of them, too.
Yeah. No, you're saying he wouldn't be on – he would have to run in your dirt track because you'd love to run on his bouncy rubber track like they have now, right?
I would love to have the equipment that they have now running a 4.2.
Oh,
I think I can run a 4.1.
Yeah. Maybe you could, and there's no question about it. Hey, you know, I always crack up because you're one of the few guys to run against maybe the greatest sprinter of all time in this country, Carl Lewis. It's funny. I was looking at some of his stuff last night. Not only the 100 and 200, but the long jump. That dude was a 28-foot long jumper, used to win the gold in that. What was that like, man, running against a dude like that?
Carl Lewis was you know, it was a situation where he was so smooth. I mean, Carl Lewis would run just enough to beat you, and he would toy with you. And the thing is that I could never get ahead of him because Carl Lewis was just a fast guy, man. I mean, let's get straight. He was a long jumper. He was a sprinter.
Yeah.
And he was just naturally fast. And that's one person that I ran against that, I just couldn't, you know.
Yeah.
I seen ass and elbows the whole time I ran against him because I was behind him.
No, listen, hey, a lot of people in the whole world did. That was pretty, I mean, his times were crazy. So, hey, you've been through a lot, dude. How's your health, man? How are you doing after beating cancer and everything you've had to overcome?
Well, you know, my health is good. You know, I mean, I got these twitching muscles right now. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I figure it out. You know, we'll figure it out. But you know, the muscles just aches all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you got to get all that checked, man. Are you going to the doctor to get all that stuff checked?
Yeah. You got to get all that checked. But you know what, Joe. I'm having a signing at Sinbag. You know,
we've been promoting it that you're going to be there Sunday. I know you're going to be there Sunday from noon to 2 at Coral Ridge Mall, 3200 North Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale. Hell, I thought about coming out just to see and give you a big kiss.
No kisses, but you can come out to see me.
All right, that's fair. Frank Gore's going to, by the way, Frank Gore's going to be there on Saturday, noon to 2.
Yeah, Frank Gore's going to be there, man. That's one of the guys, man. He got,
a player.
The most yards in the NFL, right?
He's third. He's third all time. Emmitt Smith, and I forgot who was two. Was it Walter Payton? Might have been two, but he's number three.
Is it Emmitt Smith, and then
it is Emmitt number one, and then there was somebody else.
What's his name?
Walter Payton, I think, was two, and then and then Frank Gore is three out of all those great running backs. Frank Gore is
Barry,
three.
What about Barry Sanders?
Well, Barry left. He's four. He's behind four. Frank Gore. How about that? Barry had like 1,500 yards and goes, I'm done playing for this team. He just walked out when he was like still a badass. It was crazy.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, they didn't want to trade him, I guess. I don't know what the deal was, but I tell you what, I know Sula was looking at him, boy, when he was on that. You remember that?
Yeah, oh, boy, you ain't kidding. No question. Hey, before I forget, we got to have at least one. Dan's probably up and listening this morning having a coffee. You got to give me the Marino story. I love there's a bunch of stories you guys have, but I like the one where he went to the coach and said you weren't diving for the ball. Will you tell that story to me before you go?
Okay. I'll tell you that story. Now, this was a situation that, Marino threw the ball, but I used to run underneath the ball all the time. And so, like a couple of times he threw the ball, he overthrew me. He said, Duke, you could have died for the ball. How can you die when you go? Like, for instance, when you go in full speed and you just take off in the air and dive, where you going to dive at? On the ground?
Right.
But so, one time, Marino, we was kind of practicing. They do, we need to dive for the ball. Because I went around, he threw the ball low to the ground, so I kicked it up with my foot, and I caught it. Hey, Duke, you can't do that in the game. And I said, yes, I can do that in the game. I said, first of all, didn't you just get a contract? They paid you $6 million to hit me right in my chest. And I don't think I should have to do all that diving and everything. I think you get paid good to throw that ball perfect. So do your job and I do my job. And that was it.
You know what's funny? So he's at dinner the other night. He goes, I looked at him and I go, you're right. He said, Doop's right. I guess I got to put the money. I got to put it right on the money there. So I thought that was great.
But that's one thing that Marino would do, man. I'm telling you, I was blessed to play with a guy that had an arm, that had the knowledge, and he had that arrogance of throwing the ball which you covered, and you know you covered, and you look up and the ball is there.
Yeah.
In a place where you can catch it and nobody else.
Yeah. Hey, Duke.
Yeah, he was good at that.
Yeah, no, he was the best. There's no question about it. I got to ask you in the huddle. I got to tell you, after all those years, you were the most entertaining guy in the huddle, especially Clayton on one side saying I'm wide open, you on the other going, hey, man, you've thrown the last three to Clayton. Don't you think maybe you could come to me? And Danny getting frustrated listening to everybody, and you guys are pointing at the guys that are covering you. And then he went, Dwight. And Dwight goes, hey, shut him up.
Well, Marino was something else. I never forget. I remember one time we were playing against Washington, and all of a sudden that Marino, like we had to pay our dues, the association, the dues for the
union
for the
dues.
NFL.
Yeah,
union dues. And I told him I wasn't paying it. He said, why? I said, because shit, you ain't throwing me no balls. I might not be here. Yeah, you throwing all the balls in Clayton. Shit, I might not be here. I said, I'm not paying shit. I might take my money. I might need it. Excuse my language. But anyway, after that, so we said, what? And why you ain't gonna pay your dues? I said, if you throw me 10 goddamn balls, I'll pay my dues. And you know what? He threw me 10 balls.
He did?
I caught 8 of them. And I caught 3 touchdowns. And I was against Washington Redskins against Dow Green. That's when they won the Super Bowl with Doug Williams.
That's right. What a game.
I never forget that.
Wow, that was.
I never forget that. I wore his little butt out because I knew that Dan wanted me to pay them dues. And you know what? The next day I came back with this little $1,500 check. But that was a lot of money back then.
Hey, dude, I got to let you go. You are the best, man. You are the best. You only cursed 25 times. That's all right. Hey, Dupe, I appreciate it. And we're going to let everybody know that Mark Duper is going to be at Coral Spring Trading Card Show, Coleridge Mall, 3200 North Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale. You can catch Frank Gore on Saturday, noon to 2, and Mark Super Duper signing noon to 2 on Sunday. Dupe, thank you. Appreciate
you're
it, brother.
You're welcome, Joe. You have a great day.
Good luck with the doctor, man. I hope you're all right. I'll see you later. All right. That was Mark Duper. Hey, listen,
we'll send people to sinbadsports.com. I'm guessing that show's good in person, too. Go out there and see him, man.
He is. He's a trip. Oh, man. All right, we got to go to break.
You get him going.
Oh, yeah, I got to get him going a little bit. All right, we'll be right back after this.
Top of your stock market report, sponsored by Kendall Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, home of the $21,000 discount, KendallDodgeChryslerJeepRam.com. Market opens in 5 minutes. The NASDAQ futures are up 50 points, the Dow up 100 points, and the S&P up 10 points. Joe, back to you.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Man, we're sitting here, Woody and I, just watching Josh Allen throw the football last night. He's just was on his game last night. Four touchdown passes in the first half. Hell, they scored, I think, every time they had the ball, had the game put away at halftime, and beat the Jags up 47-10 last night, for those of you that might have missed it. And Washington on the road beat Cincinnati, and Jaden Daniels looked unbelievable. 21 of 23. So the quarterback play is starting to come around, Woody, and Jaden Daniels, the one rookie that looks like he's starting to really figure things out, a great runner, but he made two deep throws last night, including a touchdown at the end of the game, that are just gorgeous throws. Pretty tight coverage on a couple of his deep throws, and he dropped it right perfectly to his receiver. So he had a couple touchdowns, ran for a touchdown as well. And then, you know, this thing with Josh Allen, we're all kind of wondering, so how's this going to work with Josh Allen with this group of receivers? So they don't throw the ball deep very often. I haven't seen him throw it deep, actually, at all. But they use different parts of the field. He's obviously can make all the throws, and he is spreading it out, man. He is spreading it out to a lot of different guys. He's got two tight ends they use, which we got to see him last, Thursday night, and saw just how good they were. But, my gosh, man, they off to a 3-0 start, and we'll see what happens going forward. And, of course, the Dolphins, we'll find out. They'll be back to work tomorrow trying to figure out what they're going to do at the quarterback position, see if they pick somebody up, or if they've just decided this week we'll just go with Tim Boyle and Tyler Huntley. I'm guessing Skyler going to be out and won't be back. But if he is going to be out for – I mean, this thing's crazy. Not only Skyler's injury now, but when's Tua actually going to be back? He's eligible to come back for the Arizona game, but are they really going to do it? Are they going to have him wait a little bit longer? So that's all still in play. And you got to get through and win some games. Whichever quarterbacks, and, you know, the frustrating thing with Skyler is you picked this guy a long time ago basically to be your backup, and he has just got to be better than what we saw in that game. And it's just not good enough. Had the early throw to Achan, and then that was pretty much it. And a lot of it, I know the O-line's getting blamed and everybody's getting blamed, but a lot of it, he's got to be better than that. He looked like he had never played in a game. He looks like he'd never played in a regular season game. His rookie year he did, played two regular season games, started and also played in some other games and then started in the Buffalo Bills playoff game, but it's just not good enough, and had extra days to get ready. Just really disappointing, you know, and obviously not a good look for the head coach and the quarterback coach and the coordinator and the rest of them, that it's their job to get the guy ready and make sure he's ready to go. Anyway, hey, we got a lot more on that coming up here. Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fence podcast, will join us next.